Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues Show. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm honored to be joined today by Heather Havenwood. Heather teaches coaches, experts, and service providers current online marketing and sales strategies to close the right clients anytime they want. She is regarded as a top authority on digital marketing, sales coaching, and online publishing business strategies. Heather has actually been named in the top 50 must-follow women entrepreneurs by the one and only Huffington Post. She's also been named Chief Sexy Boss from her Amazon bestseller book, Sexy Boss, How Female Entrepreneurship is Changing the Rulebook and Beating the Big Boys. And others call her the wizard behind the curtain. Look, it's no secret. We live in a very noisy world today. There are all kinds of things vying for our attention as well as our customers' attention. So how do we, as entrepreneurs, experts, small business owners, and/or inventors, break through that noise and actually become online influencers? Well, that's exactly what Heather's going to share with us today, how she was able to do that for herself. So Heather, welcome to the show. I already know this is going to be a really fun show today. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be a ton of fun because that's what I'm about fun and education and helping others 100%.
Yes. So actually, start off by telling us a little bit more about what you do.
Wow. So that's a lot of things. What I'm doing now is I'm really helping entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs, creatives and creatives, how they actually take their work in the world, sell what their products and services are, and small business owners to move into influence. We today in our world today, we are actually valued by the level of the content we create. Okay. And I know that sounds kind of interesting, but it is true. So we as a society has changed on how and why we connect with people. So I call it the H2H model. We as human beings haven't changed that much. So I teach people, how do people buy in today's world? Okay. So that's what I do basically. And I use the art and science of persuasion and influence on how to do that and to go from expertise to influencer.
Wow. Very well said. Very well said. And, you know, it's so funny because I remember years ago when I first started blogging, I would actually be criticized because of the amount of content that I was producing. And it's funny because now those criticisms have actually been kind of converted into praise because, you know, they used to have the expression cash is king. Well, it's like content is king now.
Well, let me stop you there. So here's how I look at content is king, engagement is queen. And in my world, queen is over the king. And it's my world, and I get to say so. Right? We all know it's true, so let's just be honest. Right? But then engagement is queen, right? But then the media is really what I call the world or the galaxy. Right, that you got to up level to the next level, right? Mm-hmm. So as far as engagement, people cannot engage with you if you're not creating content. So we as human beings are paid for our value in the marketplace. That is an old quote by Jim Rohn back in the 80s. Well, here he is, you know, on stages around the world saying, you are the product of your value in the marketplace. Now, back in the day, that was called like education. We go to college and you get education. That was our value in the marketplace. That's how we used to measure value in the marketplace. If you go back to what I call the Jesus days or biblical times or however you want to call it, right? That what was value back then? merchants and selling and persuasion and influence. I mean, Jesus really was, and I'm going back in biblical times to prove a point, he was a influencer and persuader. Okay, like him or not, agree with him or not, I'm not talking about Christianity specifically, but the value he had in the marketplace at the time and other merchants was the spoken word and the presentations and the speaking skills. So what are we valued in today's world, right? What we value is being able to engage before we buy. That's the queen part, the engagement. But we cannot engage queen without the king content. However, I believe that engagement is more important than content. You have to have content to engage, right? So yeah. It's a chicken before the egg kind of thing. And going back to biblical times, that's why we can pick up the Bible and read it and understand the parable, like it or not. Again, there's nothing about green or not with it. It's just that you can understand it. That's because we as human beings haven't changed that much. So even though we're thousands and thousands and thousands of years older and we have things called iPads and Ubers and weird stuff like scooters and all kinds of weird stuff, doesn't mean that we have changed. We haven't evolved. We have not evolved much as humans. Why we buy, why we choose, why we fall in love. Mm-hmm. Those really haven't altered. Society has changed and how we view things, right? Man, woman, all that, and political and blah, blah, blah. But the human psychology, the influence, the persuasion, hasn't altered.
That's very true. And so I guess the thing that we as business owners have to be cognizant of is that we have to not only engage offline, but online as well. And that's where you help people, right? Is with that online engagement piece.
Yeah, the online engagement piece. So I love this analogy because this is how I see digital marketing. So just let me give you a construct or a background real quick with me. I did my very first online marketing course called, like, what do we call it? It was some weird name, like online business or something. It was the University of Texas at Arlington in 1999.
Okay.
1999. So I was in a marketing course because I had to. It was 101 marketing. And this beautiful African-American woman, she was my professor. She actually reached out to about 10 of us and tapped us on the shoulder and had private conversations and said, hey, the university has given me permission to do this one course, one time, one semester called online marketing. This is in 99. Oh, wow. And all of us, because we're college students and we're like that, we're like, do we get credit? That's all we, you know, do we get credit? Yeah. We care about. Does it go towards our
fair degree? Question.
Right. That's all we cared about, you know? And she's like, yeah. So I did it. And then I remember the very first day of the course, we're all sitting there. There's no books, you know, there's no book for the course. We all just sit there and we just all look at each other like, what are we doing? And she goes, okay, there's no books. No one knows anything about really online marketing. So your job is to create a business plan for a business online. And we go, well, we don't know how to do that. She's like, I know, no one does. Okay, so... go out there in the world to figure it out. So that was the entire semester. We would just come back every single week and like try to figure it out. And what did you learn? And what did you learn? It was like my first mastermind experience. My point is that things have evolved obviously online since 1999. And I now look at online marketing like the stock market. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're a stockbroker or an analyst of a stockbroker or whatever, a talking head on CNBC or something, right? You analyze the market. Oh, look at this, going down, it's going up, it's going down. Well, based on this, you should do this, right? That's what analysts do on the stock market. And they take a very particular pragmatic view on it. It's not personal to them. Like, oh, look, Facebook is going up. Well, here's probably why. Oh, Facebook is going down. Here's probably why. Blah, 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 blah. Lyft is out. Here's what's happening. Here's what their thoughts are. They're taking a very pragmatic approach, bear versus bull market. I take the same view of online marketing. Okay. And that is something that I encourage everyone to look at it. You got to look at online marketing like the stock market. Don't make it so damn personal. Oh, look, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. I hate it when people post this and this. Look at what Facebook is. It is a social network inside of, it's like its own little Mars, an own little Venus. It doesn't represent the representation of the whole world. It's one space. Okay. Mm. Then you have LinkedIn. LinkedIn is where I like to play. The two places I like to play for this thing called influence is podcasting and LinkedIn. I'm going to go down the differences of those. Those are the worlds I play in. So think stock market, you know, some people like penny stocks, right? Okay, whatever. Mine is LinkedIn and mine is podcasting. There's two reasons for that. Very specifically, those are the tools I like to play in. Okay. Because Facebook is a tool, but it's not really a tool, I think, for best for business right now. So LinkedIn is a, like, think of it like Mars, where you, once you get on Mars, you're on Mars. It's got its own kind of gravity, right? It's got its own kind of weather, all that kind of stuff. It's very, very different than Facebook, let's say, is Venus. Okay. It's different rules, different engagement. So you've got to play inside of the rules of Mars, different kind of gravity. LinkedIn is its own world. So once you get into the world, you can start to like play inside that world. LinkedIn's very geared towards business. So I sat down with some people that work at LinkedIn during South by Southwest. I sat down with them for a couple hours and I asked these questions. What are you focused on? What is LinkedIn focused on for 2019, 2020? And I actually just did an hour and a half video on this on my Facebook page doing a live, just kind of like hanging out, sitting there just doing this live video. And I taught, I just completely taught for an hour and a half. I just taught. I just teach. And one thing I taught was that LinkedIn is becoming the CRM Salesforce of business. That's where they're going. So think Salesforce, which is a software where you have to enter data, and think old school like Yellow Pages. Okay. Right. And then combine them, which is power, right? You have the data and then you have the structure for a sales environment. That is where LinkedIn's headed. That is not a social network. That's a business data platform. That's the power of LinkedIn, and it's getting bigger and better. I play there because to me, that's where business is. When people open LinkedIn subconsciously, they're there to do business. When people open up Facebook on their app or on their whatever device, they're subconsciously thinking, what's going on with my friends? What's going on with my family?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because there are so many, even professional people that I know, who do not have a LinkedIn presence. And I used to wonder about that, like, why is that? But then it dawned on me, like, you can't play around on LinkedIn. You know, there are do you think that's a fair statement? There are consequences if you say something, let's say fairly inappropriate, or something that you would very freely post on Twitter or maybe even Facebook or Instagram, that you would have to almost think twice before you would put something like that on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's a great perception of you. Yes, that I agree. So let's put it in context. Okay. If you and I are having a glass of wine at 5 o'clock on a Friday, you know, and we're just hanging out, chit-chatting like girlfriends, you know, we're going to say certain things. I might even say certain bad things, middle dirty things. I don't know, talking about my boyfriend or so, you know, I might say things. If you and I meet at noon at an event center for a B&I club or a Rotary, or a business meeting, I'm going to talk to you very differently. Right. Even though you know girlfriends and we're going to meet on Friday at 5 o'clock, I'll see you later, right? But I'm still going to talk to you differently and communicate to you, and still I'm going to have a different kind of conversation because it's a business environment. Once I walk into that business environment, my demeanor changes, my energy changes, I'm there to do business. Right. If I get a friend out of it, that's a bonus. That's like, oh, I didn't expect to have become besties with a friend from DMI. I'm really there to do business, period. I'm there to be viewed as a business person. I'm there to do business. I'm there to refer. I'm there to be referred to. That is the energy of LinkedIn. Right? Yeah. Facebook, I might become besties with you because we become friends. I realize you're in the same group as me. That's really cool. Let's get on the phone, have a chit chat. Maybe we're besties, right? We may or may not do business. We may not even talk about our business. We find the way our kids go to the same school. I don't know. Whatever. It's social. LinkedIn, you open it up, it's like walking into a Rotary or a B&I group. And that's why. And if people aren't serious about doing business, people know that and they kick them off or they just like, you're done. I'm there to do business. I open up LinkedIn. I'm there to talk to do business. Now, let me explain this to you because this is the number one complaint I hear about LinkedIn. I can't stay in LinkedIn because I open up my messenger and people are pitching me. Okay. I hear that all the time. I don't like it because I'm constantly in my inbox and people are pitching me. Okay. Go to a B&I group or a Rotary. They're there to do business, period. They're there to connect with you, say hi to you. And all, by the way, I'm a divorce lawyer or I'm a lawyer general or I own an auto shop. They're there to do business. I'm a chiropractor. I'm a realtor. They're there to do business, period. So it's the same thing. Is if you look at it differently and go, hey, thank you so much, Alicia, for reaching out to me and pitching me about your business. You know, I don't need those services right now. However, let's get on the phone call and see if I can refer you.
Right.
Oh, great. Let me hear more about you. Oh, that's really awesome. Hey, you know what? I can't use it, but I know someone who can. Or you know what? Have you ever thought about using podcasts? Because that's why I teach people. Have you ever thought about using podcasts or LinkedIn to get more clients? Oh, I can help you there. See, that's a business conversation.
Yes. And would you say that the more that that's part of engagement, right? Is actually taking that initiative to respond to that person rather than just ignoring that solicitation or that pitch, you're actually taking it a step further by engaging with that person and saying, hey, let's still get on a call. Let me find out a little bit more about what you do. I can tell you more about what I do and who knows what can come from that.
Yeah.
Would you say, yeah, Heather, that that's part of the path or the roadway to becoming an influencer, an online?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
Influence is in conversation. And that could be in multiple ways. That's creating content so that people can actually engage. That's being willing to get on the phone. Look, let me just be full confession. I used to be one of those people that got irritated with LinkedIn because people were pitching me and I didn't know how to deal with that. I was also one of those people that didn't like being pitched to. I was one of those. I was also one of those people that never got on the phone with people. I know, you'd be like, what? I had a complete awakening, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. Like, la, 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 la. But someone described it to me. He said to me, Heather, you know what that's like? That's like you walking into a B&I group. And if y'all don't know what that is, it's Business Network International. It's been around for years, right? They do.
Yes.
They're very good for businesses. I highly suggest them. That's like you walking into a B&I group and being a pissed off little bleh, like, I don't want to talk to you. How dare you give me your business card? I mean, that's what it's like, you know? And then you expect to get business done and you expect to have a prosperous business. How's that going to go?
Exactly.
That's 101 networking. Hello. Hi, my name is Heather. This is what I do. What do you do? Oh my God, that's really great. Thank you for telling me that. You know, I didn't know anything about that. Well, I don't need the services right now, but you never know who I know. And thank you so much. Give me your card. Let's connect. Awesome. Boom. That's called networking. That's 101, old school, meeting and shaking and kissing the babies, you know? Mm-hmm. And nowadays, that's what it's about. You're as powerful as your network, right? So now when I get somebody who's like, hey, this is my amazing business. You're amazing. Let's get on the phone. Or don't you want my service? And it's very pitchy. Sometimes I'll just call them like, hey, what's up? You just like pitched me. They're like, whoa, you called. I'm like, hello, what's up? You know, but I'm like, here's what they did. The moment you pitched me, I'm like, sweet. Because you know what you just did? You just opened the door for me to pitch you back.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You pitched me. That, and you know what? I love what you're doing. That's really awesome. By the way, now that you and I know what you do, I'm going to share with you what I do. Fair? Oh, okay. Yeah. what do you mean? Not fair. Is it only one way? Because I'm pretty sure this is called business and we get to do share both ways. And if you can't use my services, that's okay too, right? But it's two way, right? If we're in a B&I group, you just tell me what you do and I only get to share with you what I do. Oh, of course not. Okay. Well, let's go back to being human. You know, so I think that's one of the things that if you look at LinkedIn that way and you turn it into being human again and saying, hey, thank you for giving me your phone number. Thank you for pitching me. Yes, I will use your calendar link to get on your calendar. And now I have 15 minutes of your direct exposed time on your calendar with a human being out there. And now we get to actually have a conversation to see if I can use your services, you can use my services, or we can refer each other. That is called business.
Yes.
It's called business. It is on LinkedIn. But I promise you, when I open up LinkedIn, there's a part of my brain that's like hormones or whatever you call it that move into business. That my body moves into business. My energy moves into business. There's a piece of me that when I go onto Facebook, like it or not, and I do a lot of videos on Facebook for business, but there is a piece of me still that's like, oh, what's going on this weekend? You know, what did people like do last week? You know, what's my girlfriend up to? There's just a different psychology.
Yeah. And you know, you're touching on something that I think is also really key. And that is the fact that some of us really just don't know how to conduct business or how to network. You know what I mean? We we do have a more one-sided approach. And what I often tell people is you have to, social media, there's a reason the word social is a part of that. It's like walking into a room and then you expect everybody to come to you and you never make any type of an effort to initiate a conversation. Like you wouldn't do that in person, right? So you, and if you do, then shame on you. But the same holds true when you go onto these different platforms, especially LinkedIn, right? You can't get, you have to get on there being prepared to engage. So I think that's really important. Can you actually define for us what's meant by an influencer? Because we hear that term a lot, but I'd love to hear what your definition of an influencer actually
is. I would be honored. I am so glad you asked that question. I don't know if you'll like it, but all right, let's break it down. Okay. So this is a really important question. And so thank you so much for asking. And here's the deal. So it used to be, we're told that being an expert is really important. All right. What does that mean? Okay. You're an expert in your field as a lawyer. And then your niche of that is divorce. I don't know why I'm on the divorce thing right now. Maybe let's bring us up a personal injury or something. You are an expert in that field, that you just show that you're an expert in that field. And back then it was more like showing your cases or showing different things that you have done, your work. Okay. And then maybe you write a book about it, maybe, or maybe you write a white paper about it or something to prove and show your expertise and testimonials and things like that. And those are all still very valid. The next level of that really is influence. Influence is understanding how to influence an industry, influence a niche, influence people to move them towards one view or another. Now, let me give you some what I call very polarizing examples. Okay, Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, like him or not, if you hate him, okay, he influenced you to an emotion.
Yes.
He influenced you. If you love him, he influenced you. That's influence. Okay. Howard Stern, over 51% of his listeners, meaning people that tune in to him, hate him. He caused an emotion in them. Therefore, he influenced them. Even if they're pissed at him. Rush Limbaugh, same thing. I think it's like, why, 53%?
Or like a Kanye West even. Like
Kanye West. Right? I'm not a big fan personally, but like he influenced me to like him or hate him, right? He influenced the emotion out of me. Not a big fan. I think he's a little cray cray. There's a little cray cray. But like the fact that he created that emotion in me, he influenced me. Mm-hmm. Right? There's, you know, a lot of big ones, Alex Jones, Kim Kardashian, Kyle Jenner. These are all influencers because there's some level of emotion that we get from it. Now, what does that mean in today's world of online marketing? That means that when we influence an industry or our niche or our subset, we're causing emotion, we're causing things to happen inside of that space. It could be a micro space too. It doesn't have to be a macro space. It could be a very macro, very micro piece of our niche, right? But we are paid in direct correlation to the value in the marketplace. And value in the marketplace today is connected to content, and content that is adds value on some level to influence and move people towards a direction. Okay, towards a direction could be all kinds of things. It could be, I mean, who knows, right? Buy a product, not buy a product, have a particular view, not have a particular view, have a particular belief. I always think of Joel Osteen. I listen to Joel Osteen pretty much every Sunday. And I love him because he's very influential. And at the end of the day, if you think of, I apologize my analogies. I'm very analogy oriented because I like them. No, I always love going back to preachers. One, I grew up as a Baptist preacher girl. So I'm a very much a Baptist girl gone bad, just so you're clear. I'm very, a blonde Baptist girl from Houston, Texas, that's gone very bad. But I love the appreciation of pastors. Okay. So I love Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes. They're really amazing pastors as well as influencers. But if you have to really look at it, let's look at this for a second. They're all selling the same thing. They're selling the same book. They're selling the same story. But why is it Joel Osteen has a church that's ridiculously large. Okay. And then TD Jakes has got another one that's ridiculously large. And then you and I can probably think about one or two churches in our neighborhood that probably maybe 100 people, 200 yeah. people. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? They're all selling the same message. What's the difference? They're selling the same book.
They're influencers.
Right, because they're tapping into something. They're tapping into the emotion. And if you think about it, I think pastors has one of the hardest jobs. They are literally selling a story that everyone's heard about. Right? At least you and I get to create books that no one's ever heard about. Right? We get to create books from scratch. They have to like sell the same book. It's all the same stories. They have to say the stories over and over again. You know what I mean? So I think that's a nuance and a side of a niche, right? That they are influenced. So going back to your question, what actually is influence? An influencer is somebody that taps into a particular emotion and moves people towards or away from something, towards buying something, away from something, have a viewpoint and whatnot. They are an influencer.
Wow. Very impressive, Heather. Very impressive. So it's no wonder, as I listen to you, why you yourself are an influencer. So my next question for you is,
thank you.
How long did it take you to become an influencer? And how long would you say, and this might not be a fair question, but how long in general do you think it takes for a person to become an influencer?
It's a choice. It's a choice. The moment I got that, it was like a switch. So for me, I'll tell you from my view and my world and like, you know, my own experience, which might be very different from someone who's listening. Okay. So, you know, I come from starting into my first business, online business plan was in 1999. My first time I tried a business online was 2001, failed miserably. The first $1 million I made online was 2004. First bankruptcy from online marketing was 2006. and then I made another 1.5 million sales in 18 months in 2015 and made a lot of money in between just doing different businesses online. Now, all of those experiences had brought me to many different kinds of skill sets. Okay. I'm very good at email marketing, affiliate marketing, SEO, messaging, and branding. Okay. I'm an expert in a lot of those areas. In many ways, I'm a mastery at those. I did over, 10 years of doing 3 emails a day, every single day. I'm pretty much a master at email marketing and persuasion of that, at the written word. However, you know, I could position myself as a master at email marketing. I guess it's one skill set I have. But what I prefer is to be an influence in people's lives with my mission is to, I want to help 10,000 women start and run their own company so they have their own financial well-being and security. That's my big why in life. And I use all those skill sets to empower them and I teach those skill sets to empower and go into my big goal. So for me, once I finally caught the click, like, oh, I could position myself as an influencer and be an influencer for a bigger why. You know, Tony Robbins is an influencer for sure, right? He really changes, alters lives. And I'm going to say this, some people hate this. You know, again, Donald Trump is an influencer. Like him or not, the man's an influencer.
Right. Okay. That's true. Very true.
And anybody who says to me, because I had this question earlier today at another interview, she said, well, what do you say to people? she didn't like my answer. She was like, I didn't expect you to say this. What do you say to people who are really scared to be out there and put their content out there? And I'm like everybody. I get my feelings hurt and stuff like that, you know, and I've had people say mean stuff to me online. And I've gotten my skin has gotten thicker per se, but I always think about, sometimes I do this on purpose. I go to Donald Trump's Twitter account. That man can say the sky is blue and people will hate him. You just scroll on any of his tweets, the venom that comes out of people's typed hands is incredible.
Gangster.
And this man just keeps going. Like, you have to respect the guy, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny. I noticed that whenever I'm on YouTube a lot, and whenever I'm watching a video, it's like, No matter how great I may personally think the video, there is always, I don't care what the subject is, I don't care who the person who's put together the video is, there's always going to be someone who will dislike a video. And it's kind of like, it just kind of comes with the territory now.
It comes with the territory, but yeah. And I've had my own issues around this, but I love the Trump analogy because
it's true. Enough,
the man can just say, the sky is blue today, and like the venom that comes out. And he just doesn't even let it faze him. And yeah. That is very it's kind of in a weird way respectful. Like, dude, I get that, man. I wish I could be like that, like Teflon, you know? That's the level. I would be honored to have that many people like throw venom at me, because I feel like maybe if I'm that many people throwing venom at me, I feel like I make a difference. But you have to be willing to take bullets.
Mm.
Right. Mm. I always go back to sports because sports are really fun, right? And I look at NFL players and football players because I love football and I'm a Cowboy fan. The Cowboys rock. I throw that in. I got to throw in my guilt Cowboy fan. What's up? If I went to Jerry Jones, who's the owner of the Cowboys, if you do not know that, if I was a player and I went to Jerry Jones one day on game day and said, Jerry, I don't want to get hit today. I don't want to get hit today. He would say, take off your damn uniform and leave the stadium. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Get out the game.
Get out of the game.
Yeah.
And I tell that to entrepreneurs all the time. Well, how do I get over my fear, and how do I do this, and how do I do that, and like, what if I get hit? I'm like, then get off the field.
Mm.
Don't play. That's like going to Wall Street and playing Wall Street and going, I just want to always make money. Then don't play Wall Street.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work. I go back to digital marketing. It's like it's like Wall Street. It changes. Facebook, for many, many, many years, was the way to go in certain kind of media buying. It's changed a lot in the last 2 months, if not 5 months, big time. It's no longer the best way for a lot of different ways for media buys. It's no longer working at the level that it's supposed to, or it should, not supposed to, should. It has. So don't get mad. Don't get angry. Just, you got to alter, right? You got to alter with that. The number one thing that NFL players, my point, and the number one thing NFL players or football players, or even NFL, all football players learn, the first thing they learn in peewee, like I'm football in Texas, right? So everything's football. In peewee school, peewee football school, what do they learn? They learn how to get hit effectively without getting hurt. They literally do hours and hours of practice of how do you hit and get hit, hit. Get hit, hit, get hit, hit, get hit. Oh, and by the way, here's a ball. Run it. Few of you get to touch it. Only the running back and quarterback. Everybody else is like, get hit. Because really, what's football? Getting hit and then like making sure that everyone else gets hit so the ball gets to go down the field. That's entrepreneurship. You're going to get hit. Period.
So true. So true. You have to get back up, though.
You got to get back up. I mean, yeah, watch a football game. How many people actually touch the ball? Everybody else is just getting hit. It's one big hit fest.
You know, so, you really kind of have to be a little crazy. I mean, in comparison to people who do not own their own businesses and do not kind of chart out their own destiny, they would look at people like us as, you know, slightly crazy.
Cray-cray. Because,
yeah, we just keep going.
I love the Christies. I love cray-cray. You, cray-cray. I love Christies. Amazing. Cray-cray.
So if we could just kind of tie this back to, sure, to business infrastructure. So with business infrastructure, for those who are listening to this show for the first time, it's nothing more than a system for linking people, processes, and tools to ensure that your company grows in a profitable and sustainable way. So what I love about what you've said so far, Heather, is you've definitely talked about the tools that you use, you know, LinkedIn and podcasting just being two of them. Can you talk about some of the specific people that help you, that you've relied on, or that you have as a part of your team as you were on this journey to becoming an influencer?
Okay. Ask that question again. That's a pretty in-depth question, girl. Like, hold on. I feel like I need a glass of wine.
So we're talking about, really, you've actually answered the question already with some of the things that you've said earlier. But if we kind of look at you know, the people, the processes, and the tools. Yeah. You've definitely talked about your tools, LinkedIn.
Oh, the tools. Yeah, tools are LinkedIn and podcasting right now.
Podcasting. Yeah. And so when it comes to the people aspect, can you kind of talk about some of the key people that you've had on your team, mentors, virtual assistants? I'm sure you have a team of people that you work with, that you worked with on this path towards becoming an influencer and that you continue to work with. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Here's what I would say. I'd rather say, first of all, I have a ton of people in my life that have graced my path, that have mentored me in multiple ways. Many. In fact, I got inspiration from someone on Instagram the other day. He posted, he wrote down all the people that have affected his life. And I started that process, and it's pretty endless of people that have somehow taught me something, helped me be courageous, mentored me, coached me on some level on my path. And it's pretty long. So here's what I would say. There's a difference between mentorship and coach. I'll go into that. All right. So a mentor, in my view, is someone that has gone before you on that path. Okay. So let's take football again. It's really easy. A mentor, someone, you're a running back, they're a running back. They were, you know, an amazing running back before, and they now mentor you. Because they're a little older, or even 1 year, 2 years, they've been down the path before you. They can say to you, hey, heads up, you know, do this, don't do this. This is where I messed up. Here's some pitfalls for you. A coach is someone different. A coach doesn't even have to know anything about the game necessarily. That's why sometimes a coach is on the sideline. Maybe, you know, they obviously know the game per se, but that doesn't mean that they have to be playing the game. They can see things you don't see. They can see, hey, you went left, and I don't know if you went right. You should have gone right, and here's why. And did you know when you turned here, you should turn here? Like, a coach can see things you can't see, but that doesn't mean that they have necessarily the same skill set as you as a running back. They don't have to have the same skill set out there, like, you know, maybe they didn't play a running back before, but they can still coach you as a running back. Makes sense?
Yes.
The analogy of that. So a coach is very distinct. An advisor is more like a lawyer or someone like that who's like, I'm an accountant, I know this piece. I'm an accountant, I'm a lawyer. I can advise you to go in this direction based on data or information or their experience, okay? That's more of an advisor. And then a consultant is like, hey, I'm just going to do this for you. Like, you're going to come to our agency, a marketing agent. We're just going to be done for you. We're going to handle it. You're going to take our consultancy as well, done for you piece. Like, there's a difference. And what I want to share with you and why I'm saying that question is because we have many mentors and coaches and teachers and educators and advisors and consultants that come our way. Mm-hmm. And if you can take each one as a piece of the path versus the end all.
Yes.
So there's a lot of complaining of like, oh, I did this coach and they said they would do this and they didn't do this. It's like, first of all, you have to look at yourself. Were you coachable? Were you resourceful? Were you a leader? Because you have a coach doesn't mean you're not responsible. Right.
Very true.
I really want y'all to get this because I just had to fire a client recently because of this. Here's what happened. So she had me as a coach, and then like she had two other coaches. Super weird that I was like, I finally figured out that what I was coaching her on was complete in opposite of the other coaches. So it was like, I'm saying X and they're saying Y, and then she wasn't getting anywhere. And this went on for a year, and she had made this declaration of like, I want you to take me to a million. Okay, in a year. And I knew I could, like, because like I've done that a couple times. So I had full confidence, and I couldn't figure out why the movement wasn't there. And I realized, I was like, well, what are they saying? What does this coach say? What is this coach? Okay, you know, that's complete opposite direction that I'm coaching you on. I can't help you when you, and I feel sorry for you right now because you have all these people in your life telling you different ways to go. Of course you're not moving.
Yeah.
So I told her, I'm pulling myself out. I'm removing myself. She was like, what? And I'm like, what? I can't serve you. I go, and the other thing that I realized, because I took on, and this is something I had to learn, I took on her declaration of getting to a million, like as a personal goal. Like I took that on. Like I was a team member. I'm like, I'm a cowboy with you. We're a cowboy team. We're going to Super Bowl. Whoa! You know, I was very like, I'm on the field with you. The other coaches in her life didn't take that on. They were like, oh, yeah, yeah, well, let me just go this way, okay, see ya. And we're just taking her money and didn't have that, like, I am partnering with you. I took her on as like, girl, I got this. We got this. Let's go. Meanwhile, I'm pulling all the weight, and I realized I took on coach as a whole other level. I took it on as a mentor. I took it on as partner. That's something for me to see as myself as a coach and consultant, right? I had to really look at that for myself and took responsibility that with her. And I said, I'm literally firing myself from you.
Wow.
And she, and what's interesting is the other two coaches still stay on. And I said, I got to be honest with you. Your other coaches who basically have been there for 2 years before me, you still have them, are taking you in the wrong direction. I'm going to say that. And I'm removing myself.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Most people are like, what the hell? Take her money. I'm like, no.
No, 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 no.
No, I can't get on a call with her and feel responsible, because where the trigger was, I'm sharing with you so you understand like what happened. She came to me and said, hey, I didn't make my, it was obviously this year. Hey, it's now end of December. Now we're in January. I didn't make my goal. And there was kind of a, there was a complaint happening. There was a hey, you didn't do your job thing coming at me. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Mm-mm. No, I'm very clear. If you had done what I had shared with you in the blueprint, you'd have been there. So I had to really look at it, because I started to feel upset. And I'm sharing all this with you to understand that when we as coaches and consultants and advisors and teachers, we have to understand the role we're in and allow the children, allow the clients, allow our spouses to make their own choices.
I'm writing that down.
And
sage, wise advice, Heather.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Really. I mean, seriously, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
We as women, we sometimes take ownership of our children. We take ownership of our spouses, and like their choices are our spouse, or their choices are our choices. That's not true.
No. Yeah. You're so right. I completely agree with you. Look, let's take a quick break at this point to hear from our sponsor. And when we come back, I want to ask you if you have any resources that you can share with us on how we can become influencers. Do you currently have more business than you can handle? Do you need to hire more people but don't have processes documented to train them? Behind the facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success is a book that explains step-by-step how to create business infrastructure in your company so that you can hire the right people to do the right things in the right working conditions. It's the world's first book ever written about business infrastructure exclusively for small businesses. Visit behindthefacadebook.com to get your copy today. That's behindthefacadebook.com. And we're back with Heather Havenwood. So before that quick break, Heather, you were telling us about how we can become influencers, and you were sharing some just wonderful nuggets of information and very powerful insights along the way. Can you share some resources that you can recommend to us? I know you have your own book. Definitely plug that, as well as your podcast. And you also mentioned a live video that you did on LinkedIn. That was a live video about LinkedIn that you posted on Facebook. So yes, please start sharing some of those resources with us.
Yeah. So you're welcome to go to, I did it inside of my private group on Facebook. It's called influencertribe.com. Just go to influencertribe.com and it redirects you to my Facebook group. I did it for an hour and a half on Facebook Live. You can't do that on LinkedIn. So that's why I posted it in Facebook in my private group. So it's a free group. Just go to influencertribe.com, click on that, and you'll go right in. And I did an hour and a half presentation. It was like the lighting sucks. Every, you know, just let you know, I'm just like on a whiteboard, just teaching my little pootie off. But honestly, resources and tools. Let's see. Well, first of all, you can find me at AskHeatherAnn.com, AskHeatherAnn.com. Where that goes, it goes to my private chat bot, which is my messenger on Facebook. And you're welcome to reach out to me. Okay. You're more than welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. That's kind of where I go, my go-to place, which is Heather Havenwood on LinkedIn. Duh. Okay. And HeatherHavenwood.com. Those are my places. I also have a lot of books on Amazon. HeatherHavenwood.com/Amazon. And those are all my books there. I have a book on podcast guesting. I've been on over 450 shows as a guest like this.
Whoa. Oh my gosh. Over how many years?
Three, four.
Oh my gosh.
Heather, yeah, this has been a light year. Actually, I used to do 7 and 9 a week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I did 2 today, but I also did 2 other interviews on for my show, but I got interviewed twice today. And then wait, one canceled that someone had a heart attack or something. But I'm on a lot of shows, and I did one yesterday. I guess I did 4 this week as being a guest like this. So I have a book about that, how I do that without a PR agency, but I also help people do that. It's one of the things I do in one of my services I do is I help people launch people's podcasts. I do all their content management. We do all their LinkedIn pieces. We help them with their LinkedIn profile, getting them set up for success as a LinkedIn lead magnet. And then we also help people get on other people's shows as a guest like this. We do LinkedIn booking. I'm sorry, podcast booking.
Perfect. And actually, that's how we met. We met on LinkedIn. So for those of you listening, definitely, definitely check out all of those resources that Heather just mentioned, because it clearly works. And unfortunately, Heather, we are coming to a close, but I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I knew it would be jam-packed full of information. And I hate the fact that we have to cut it off at this point, but thank you so much.
No, it's fine. Thank you so much. No, it's an honor. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the honor. And thank you for everyone listening and being open to a new view of how to do business.
Yes. And I want to quickly, if I may, talk to the people who are listening to this right now. Are you struggling to break through the noise and clutter to showcase your expertise online? Would you like to become an influencer in your field? Here's a recap of how Heather did it. I'm going to attempt to recap everything that you shared with us. So when I listened to Heather, it was really more so about starting off with a change in your mindset. Some of the nuggets of information that Heather shared is the fact that people cannot engage with you if you don't create content. Content is king, but engagement is queen. She also mentioned that online marketing is very much like the stock market, so don't make it so personal. You really do have to have thick skin in order to be in this game called business. 2 very powerful and very important tools that she uses to become an influencer are LinkedIn and podcasting. If you want to know more about each of those strategies, definitely reach out to Heather. She has a plethora of resources around that. Definitely sign up for her coaching services as well. She also mentioned that you are as powerful as your network, and an influencer understands how to move people towards one view or another. It's all tied into emotion. Your influence is in the conversation, and your content is a major way to influence people online. Lastly, get in the game or get off the field. If you want to learn more about Heather and the important work that she's doing, definitely reach out to her on LinkedIn. Again, you can look her up at Heather Havenwood, and we'll be sure to have links to all of the information that she shared with us in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. There you'll also be able to subscribe to the show as well as download this episode for future reference. Again, you can do all of this at businessinfrastructure.tv. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.